I want to welcome in my next guest who's joining me on the Jersey Central Newsmaker Hotline. Just recently had an article published in the New Jersey Law Journal that is called The Tiger Tapes. And he's talking about some laws that are currently on the books here in New Jersey. And maybe there's things we could do a little bit differently or a little bit better, in his opinion. So let me welcome in Peter Letterman, who was with us here this morning on WCTC. Peter, it's Bert Barron. How are you?
Good morning, Bert. I'm great.
Good to have you with me here today. And talk about your article that you recently wrote called The Tiger Tapes. And it details, you know, what the world saw with Tiger Woods and some other famous people. And it comes in, it's obviously their struggle with addiction and things that they're having. You're talking about the law that we have here in Jersey, using your words, punitive and vindictive. Talk about the laws as they stand now and how you think we could do a better job of policing this.
Well, the basic problem is that DWI laws in New Jersey are basically simplistic, and they deal with the concept that one size fits all. And I think what's really interesting about the Tiger Woods situation is it shows that these issues are much more complex, and that if we're going to deal with these issues and effectively deal with the problem of people driving cars and ingesting substances, and the keywords are ingesting substances, we have to be more sophisticated, and we have to be more aware of possible ways of resolving these problems other than punishing people. We do a good job with punishing people, and the court system now, the way it's set up, essentially punishes people. There is a component for alcohol counseling, alcohol evaluation. It's called IDRC, but I think much more has to be done to realistically address the problem of substance abuse and, well, substance abuse generally in society, but substance abuse specifically in driving cars.
That's okay. Your timing of this, Peter, I was going to say, could not be better with now. This, it seems like the debate is kind of ramping up in Trenton, too, about when we get our new governor, who is going to take over. Chris Christie's term obviously ends in January. Getting something on the desk of the new governor that would make recreational marijuana for personal and private use something legal here in New Jersey. And then there's concerns about people who, you know, after using marijuana and getting behind the wheel of a car, what are the concerns that we have to worry about that? So I just want to tell you that the timing of this, of the article that you wrote and having you with me on the show this morning is absolutely perfect.
Well, timing is everything, so I'm glad it's timely. But the problem is more sophisticated than simply using marijuana, and that's part of what we need to understand. And I think people, and Tiger Woods is a good example of this, but what we have to understand is that the substance issues, as they relate to society in general and to driving cars, are much more sophisticated than just ingestion of marijuana or consumption of alcohol. So some people drink alcohol and take medications, and these are prescribed medications. But the combination of alcohol and these medications have what's referred to as a synergistic effect, and they multiply the effect of the two. They're not aware of it, or they don't make themselves aware of it. Some people have reactions to prescription drugs, and maybe Tiger Woods comes under that category. But we're talking about psychotropic drugs, drugs that are very powerful, Xanax, Zoloft, Celexa, Prozac, all these types of drugs that are distributed in large quantities throughout society because people have emotional issues, they have bipolar issues, they have anxiety issues. They're very common in society today. They're recognized and they're treated. In addition to that, we have people who have very serious alcohol issues, people who are not just casual drinkers or unresponsible drinkers. The people who are addressed when they say don't drink and drive, those are the unresponsible drinkers. The people who will socially drink too much, not pay attention to what they drink, not use good judgment in getting Uber or friends to drive them home or not to drive. We understand that, but it's more sophisticated than that. We have people with serious alcohol illnesses. And unfortunately, I have a really good friend, and his son, who is a really good friend, is dying from alcoholism. He's literally dying from alcoholism. And he's lucky because he has the ability to get the medical attention. He's out in Minnesota now trying to get help. Most people don't have access to those types of resources. And, you know, we're having the debate in Washington about what sort of health care people should have. Most people that come to me don't have insurance. Most people who really need help can't go get the help. Now, there is public funding available, but it's very difficult to find programs where you can just step in and get the help that you need. So that's a problem. Some people self-medicate themselves with alcohol. Some people are bipolar, they have stress issues, and they just drink too much to deal with those rather than getting the professional type of assistance they need. And then there's transfer addiction, where people start with a prescribed drug like Oxycontin, and they move on to something like heroin because they can't afford the Oxycontin anymore, they can't get prescription, and heroin is very available. So we're aware of that. Governor Christie has made us aware of the fact that there are serious drug issues, serious heroin issues. And what he's done is said, listen, we have to have a more sophisticated approach than simply punishing people for possessing or using these types of drugs. I think that's what he brings to the table. I think that's what's really interesting. And what I'm saying is that with regard to people who drink and drive, the same type of analysis and the same type of assistance has to be made available, because you can't just punish those people and say, well, if you've got a heroin issue, we're going to help you. But if you've got an issue with driving a car and there's a substance-related issue, one of the types of issues that I referred to before, we're not going to help you. We're just going to punish you.
Yeah, you raise some very, very excellent points, Peter. I'll play devil's advocate and say, what kind of impact would this have on the court system, where if every single person who was pulled over under the suspicion of DWI or whatnot, if every single person had to have this individual tailor-made sort of verdict or ruling, wouldn't this sort of really back up the courts or really kind of gum up the works for the courts here in our state?
No. The reason is we can tailor this to different types of situations. And by the way, there is a process that's ongoing right now that's was involving the New Jersey State Bar Association. Now it's involving the New Jersey Supreme Court, where they're reevaluating what municipal courts do and what they should do. You know, they're very old courts. They were instituted as a result of the Constitution of 1947. So 70 years ago, our court system was set up, and I think it's easy to agree that the problems that faced society 70 years ago are not the same problems that are being faced by society now. So there is a review and evaluation as to what municipal courts can and should do. But if you break this down as to types of problems, I think what you can do is you can actually expedite a lot of these results. So, for example, you have a lot of people who are first-time offenders who have very low blood alcohol contents, people who do not have alcohol problems. And for those people, I believe there should be a diversionary program. I mean, I believe that there should be an ability to go into some sort of low-level supervision and come out at the other end with the complaints dismissed, and with your reputation, your drivers, your driving record, your ability to get a job maintained, even though you made that mistake. And we have lots of state steps around New Jersey that have these types of diversionary programs. Pennsylvania has the ARD program. There's something called PBJ in Maryland, which is probation before judgment. You successfully complete the program, you're diverted from the criminal track, diverted from the municipal court, you end up without a record, it's suppressed. There's a program in New York, a conditional license program. And actually, there's legislation proposed before the legislature, and there's a Senate bill, 404, which was proposed by Senator Barnes, who now is Judge Barnes. They provided for a diversionary program for minor offenses, minor first offenses, in the municipal court. So DWI cases block what the courts try to do. They block it. It takes up a lot of time, a lot of effort. And by diverting these cases, you're getting them out of the municipal court system and speeding them up. But for other types of offenses, you should have the courts able to provide more assistance. Now, the Supreme Court established a rule for municipal courts called the 60-day rule. And what it does is it presses the courts to resolve DWI cases. 90% of all DWI cases are supposed to be resolved within 60 days. But what this does is this emphasizes statistics over substance, and the court should be allowed to spend more time with these defendants. And there should be other types of programs that these courts can institute and take the time to do what they have to do. So, yep. For example, we have something called drug court. And as you know, drug courts are courts where people who have drug problems are given the opportunity to improve their lifestyle, to leave drugs, to become sober. And they get rewarded for doing that. And they get punished if they don't stay with the program. And punishment includes incarceration. Same sort of program should be available in municipal courts for serious violations. You know, I represent so many people who get involved with serious violations, and they come out the other end, and they're not really different. We don't impact these people the way we have to if we're really going to deal with these problems.
Yeah,
I've had clients that go to jail, and there's nothing in the jails to help them with their alcohol problem. So if you're a third offender, you're supposed to spend 6 months in jail. I've had clients who sat in jail for 3 months reading books with no alcohol counseling, no drug counseling, not even AA meetings. They came out the other end, they were the same. So we can do something about that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And just one more quote from you from the article where you simply kind of sum it up, Peter, by saying reward those who recover. And I can't agree more with that. Talk about what's the name of your firm, Peter, and how could someone contact you for some more details?
Well, I'm a partner in a firm called Davison, Easton, Munoz, Letterman, and Payone. And we're in Freehold, but I represent people across the state for driving while intoxicated. My website is www.njdwi.com, and people can reach me at my office.
Very good. I appreciate the time this morning, Peter, and some very good input from you, and I'm going to give this article another read. So thank you so much for the time, and you're really right on point with a lot of the things you brought up today, okay?
I appreciate it.